the United Nations, one child has been killed in Gaza every hour for the past 2 days. Overall, the Israeli military has killed close to 700 Palestinians, the vast majority civilians, since the assault on Gaza began more than 2 weeks ago. Details of the slaughter make their way into the world's media with horrific accounts of children killed on the beach, of hospital intensive care units bombed, of first responders searching for wounded amidst the rubble, killed by Israeli sniper fire.
Anyway, what I was saying was last Thursday saw the start of a new ground offensive launched by Israel.
Tradition!
Armed resistance groups in Gaza, most notably that of the area's elected government Hamas, have fired thousands of crude rockets that have killed three in Israel. Since Israel began its land invasion of Gaza, more than 30 Israeli soldiers have been killed. One of the greatest challenges in understanding the situation in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories is getting reliable information. This latest assault on Gaza reaffirms the key role played by the U.S. media in maintaining the information blockade. It also highlights the increasing importance of pressure applied by social networks. One headline said it all. Missile at beachside Gaza cafe finds patrons poised for World Cup. That was the New York Times referring to a missile strike in Gaza that killed at least 8 people on the beach in the town of Khan Yunis. Ali Abu Nima, a prominent Palestinian-American journalist who co-founded the website The Electronic Intifada, mockingly tweeted, "Israeli missile stops by Gaza cafe for a drink and dialogue with its Palestinian friends."
Israel isn't supposed to defend itself.
Oh, yeah, Mexico bomb Texas will be exercised.
What other country held to the same standard as Israel?
People that want to destroy our terrorism?
By one of our Middle East correspondents, Yusuf El-Helou, for a special report. Yusuf, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jessica.
So Yusuf, my condolences, because I know that you just got word that 12 of your family members were recently killed in Gaza. Can you just describe for us what you know about the situation?
Well, the Israeli attacks on Gaza continued unabated. Regular air strikes and random tank shelling. And today, Huzaa village, which is situated in the eastern part of Khan Yunis, is facing the same fate as Shuja'iyah. More than 55 people have been killed in that massacre. This is how people call it. So the people in Gaza, of course, they are terrified. And these random shellings and air strikes have forced residents in different locations in Gaza to seek shelter at UNRWA schools. And I've lost, sadly, 12 members of my extended family. And it's really sad, to hear this sad news. And my house was targeted and sustained huge damage. Obviously, it's not the first house and it's not going to be the last, as long as Israel can, carry out it, these relentless air strikes randomly, killing people, killing children, attacking civilian properties, hospitals, mosques, public buildings, even without warning people, occupants in the house.
That was weird.
was saying was last Thursday saw the start of a new ground offensive launched by Israel.
The odd passive phrasing of the original headline became the subject of a global social media firestorm. Ali Abu Nima said more on the Democracy Now! News Hour.
It's very simple. The New York Times headline makes it sound like the Israeli missile stopped by the cafe for a friendly chat. But what the missile actually did was blew to pieces a number of people who had gone to the beach to try to escape from the horror of Israel's pogrom in the rest of Gaza and to watch a World Cup match like billions of people around the world. And they died there. That's what happened. But that's not what you would get from the New York Times headline.
The New York Times replaced the headline with, "In rubble of Gaza seaside cafe, hunt for victims who had come for soccer."
As a shelter in Gaza. CNN explains the makeshift shelter was operated by the United Nations and was filled with hundreds of people fleeing heavy fighting in the area.
Now, we don't know why the school was hit. Okay, we're waiting for a response from the Israeli military, so it's unclear.
So far, Israel Defense Forces have only said rockets had been launched by militants from the area near that shelter, essentially suggesting Hamas had provoked a response from Israel. In fact, a tweet from the IDF earlier Thursday repeated an Israeli criticism of Hamas that the group deliberately endangers civilians. A spokesperson for that UN branch tweeted that the refugee agency attempted to coordinate with Israel an evacuation for the civilians in the school, but that the request was never granted. And in an interview with Al Jazeera, another UN representative said the agency gave Israelis the location of the shelter in the hopes of safeguarding the civilians hiding there. He added, the agency didn't get any warnings before the shelling. The artillery strike marks at least the third time a facility belonging to the UN Refugee Agency has been hit during fighting.
So death tolls, you know, keeps rising, and what is happening in Gaza is unbelievable. It's genocide. This is how people describe it. Because obviously when you look at the civilian population, they are being targeted deliberately by Israel's military might, by warships, by tanks, by warplanes. And the scene of people internally displaced is just reminded us of the 1948 Nakba, the catastrophe when the indigenous population of Palestine were forced to leave back in 1948 when Israel came into existence on Palestinian land.
Holy Look, obviously there are many strong opinions on this issue, but just merely mentioning Israel or questioning in any way the effectiveness or humanity of Israel's policies is not the same thing as being pro-Hamas.
So you're against murder children?
Free Gaza! Free Palestine!
That a major news organization got a black eye. On July 16th, NBC reporter Eamon Mouldi witnessed an Israeli strike on a Gaza beach that killed four young boys who were playing soccer. After the deadly strike, Mouldi's graphic tweets alerted the world to the breaking news. He tweeted, four Palestinian kids killed in a single Israeli airstrike minutes before they were killed by our hotel. I was kicking a ball with them, Gaza. He tweeted that they were all first cousins. He tweeted their names and ages. Ahed Atef Bakr, 10 years old. Zakaria Ahed Bakr, 10 years old. Mohammed Ramez Bakr, 11 years old. Ismail Mohammed Bakr, 9 years old. Eamon Mouldin raced to the El Shifa hospital and witnessed members of the Bakr family as they learned of the killing of the boys. It would have been normal for the eyewitness to break the story on the NBC Nightly News. Instead, it was journalist Richard Engel on the screen reporting from Tel Aviv. Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Glenn Greenwald told me on the Democracy Now! NewsHour what he learned about NBC's decision-making around Mouldin after he reported on the deaths.
What was really stunning was later that day, after what arguably was his biggest or one of his biggest events in his journalism career, where he really made a huge impact on having the world understand what's happening in Gaza, they not only blocked him from appearing on the air to talk about it on NBC News, but then they told him to leave Gaza immediately.
Social media lit up in protest with the hashtag #LetEyman Report. By Friday night, NBC announced Mouldin would be back. Mouldin tweeted, thanks for all the support. I'm returning to Gaza to report. Proud of NBC's continued commitment to cover the Palestinian side of the story.
Israelis are feeling threatened by rocket attacks from Gaza. But the toll in deaths and injuries is, as usual, lopsided. Dozens of Palestinians were already dead, including children, as ABC was warning about the threat to Israelis. There were no reported deaths in Israel at the time, and no rocket damage that looked anything like the photos she was describing. Sawyer's mistake, then, wasn't just a gaffe. It represented a worldview common in a media that prioritizes some lives over others.
So what is really annoying is the silence of the international community for not doing or not taking practical steps on the ground to pressure Israel to end this aggression on Gaza. Now, Gaza is commonly known the world's largest open-air prison, and people, obviously, they are dismayed by the apathy of the international community, by the United Nations, by the U.S. administration that gives Israel a green light to carry out, you know, these attacks or military operations inside Gaza. So I feel frustrated like the rest of the people of Gaza, very angry. It's the civilian population who bear the brunt of Israel's offensive on Gaza, which has entered now its 17th day. And obviously people are terrified, are scared, and those who lost their homes, their dreams have been shattered, and they have no choice now but to resist. You know, when you ask people, how do you feel? Obviously, when they lost their homes, when they lost their loved ones, that's it, their life is vanished. And all what they're asking for, they want the prolonged Israeli siege to be lifted because they say their life is meaningless. They are asking for basic human rights.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Furious, Furious George Show. You can tell what we're spotlighting tonight, everything going down in Gaza. And how effed up the corporate media is in covering it. So we're going to do our little spot thing here on that. Attention to that. Also, spinning in some craziness, some cool music that there in the background. Dr. Strange Loop. And some other fun stuff from Low End Theory and DJ Lorne and some other goodness. So check out WCOMLPFM on Thursdays. And you will hear all about the furiousness. You can also go to furiousg.blogspot.com for our old shows. And most importantly, check out WCOMFM.org and you can help support the station, like the anonymous supporter underwriter who has funded the Furious George Show. So thanks for everyone that's doing the most important thing, i.e. listening and getting the word out about many different important topics. So this show may be offensive to some members in our listening audience. I'm furious! Thank you.
this, the UN had launched an investigation into war crimes, with both sides standing accused.
718 Palestinians have died. The UN says nearly 75% were civilians.
But back in NBC studios, the trouble was not over. Rula Jibril is a Palestinian author and political analyst. She's been a paid contributor on MSNBC, where during an interview this week, she critiqued that cable network's coverage of Gaza.
We are ridiculous. We are disgustingly biased when it comes to this issue. Look at how many airtime Netanyahu and his folks have on air on a daily basis. Andrea Mitchell and others. I never seen one Palestinian being interviewed on these same issues.
Rula tweeted later, my forthcoming TV appearances have been canceled. Is there a link between my expose and the cancellation? Well, MSNBC host Chris Hayes bravely brought her onto his show to discuss her critique. She's unsure if her contract will be renewed. Early in this latest assault on Gaza, I asked Joshua Hatman, senior advisor to Israel's ambassador to the United States, about the mounting death toll, the majority civilian. He chillingly replied,
I'll be honest, the precision is quite outstanding. And there is no military in the history of the world that has actually used such precision targets.
The terror and death wreaked by the precision of which Hatman boasts is made clear day after day, thanks to the work of too few courageous journalists supported by an engaged global citizenry using social networks to overcome traditional media blockades.
ABC this morning about the threat to Israelis. There were no reported deaths in Israel at the time and no rocket damage that looked anything like the photos she was describing. Sawyer's mistake then wasn't just a gaffe. It represented a worldview common in a media that prioritizes some lives over others.
About inequality.
Some degree of parity or balance between the sides, and also that this is between two similar entities, as in two states or two state parties. The reality, of course, is that neither of those are true. There's a dramatic imbalance both in power and capacity. The Israelis not only have a first world military, but they also have the largest per capita nuclear arsenal in the world as well. Whereas the Palestinians, those in Gaza in particular, are backed into a corner of their historic homeland. The vast majority of them there are refugees from towns in present-day Israel from which they are barred from returning to, precisely because they are of an ethnicity that is not desired by the Israeli state. And their means are extremely limited, as you have noted in your introduction. They do not have a military. They have some militant capacity. It's rather limited to some of these rudimentary rockets and some slightly more capable projectiles, and also some shorter range mortars and, of course, rifles and whatnot. But nothing that can compare to the F-16s and the Apache helicopters and the tanks and the naval ships and the drones and so on and so forth, not to mention the intelligence and reconnaissance capacity that the Israeli military has. So I think those are the sort of the biggest issues, is there's this huge imbalance, and that does not come through. If anything, the situation is often misrepresented as Palestinians being the aggressor, when in fact they are acting to defend themselves on, you know, really a small percentage of their land.
But just merely mentioning Israel or questioning in any way the effectiveness or humanity of Israel's policies is not the same thing as being pro-Hamas.
So you're against murder children?
Such precision targets.
The terror and death wreaked by the precision of which Hatman boasts is made clear day after day, thanks to the work of too few courageous journalists supported by an engaged global citizenry using social networks to overcome traditional media blockades.
Just a couple of examples. And so, for instance, today, the day we taped the show is July 9th, the New York Times story by Stephen Erlanger and Isabel Kirshner, they write of, quote, the military and political confrontation between Hamas and Israel, and the, quote, show of military strength on both sides, close quote.
I think, you know, the casualty counts in this particular episode, and of course over time, support the reality that there is such a dramatic imbalance. Of course, we know that as of this conversation, there have been about 45 Palestinian deaths and no Israeli deaths. And that continues to be a similar sort of imbalance as you look historically as well in these episodes over time.
Another way corporate media frame the conflict is to set the timeline so that in each new episode of violence, Palestinians are portrayed as the aggressors. And so the July 9th New York Times lead says that Israel launched airstrikes, quote, in response to heavy rocket fire, close quote. In this case, the proximate cause was rocket fire from Gaza. Last week, they told us it was the kidnapping and murder of three young Israelis. Journalists made a conscious decision not to cite the killing of two Palestinian boys by Israeli soldiers a few weeks before that.
killed and more than 100 others injured following an Israeli attack on a school being used as a shelter in Gaza. CNN explains the makeshift shelter was operated by the United Nations and was filled with hundreds of people fleeing heavy fighting in the area.
Now, we don't know why the school was hit. Okay, we're waiting for a response from the Israeli military, so it's unclear.
So far, Israel Defense Forces have only said rockets had been launched by militants from the area near that shelter, essentially suggesting Hamas had provoked a response from Israel. In fact, a tweet from the IDF earlier Thursday repeated an Israeli criticism of Hamas that the group deliberately endangers civilians. A spokesperson for that UN branch tweeted that the refugee agency attempted to coordinate with Israel an evacuation for the civilians in the school, but that the request was never granted.
Studios, the trouble was not over. Rula Jibril is a Palestinian author and political analyst. She's been a paid contributor on MSNBC, where during an interview this week, she critiqued that cable network's coverage of Gaza.
We're ridiculous. We are disgustingly biased when it comes to this issue. Look at how many airtime Netanyahu and his folks have on air on a daily basis. Andrea Mitchell and others. I never seen one Palestinian being interviewed on these same issues.
Rula tweeted later, my forthcoming TV appearances have been canceled. Is there a link between my expose and the cancellation?
The right to live a normal life, to export, import, fish freely, farm freely, without any intimidation on part of the Israeli side. This is what people want. It's just basic things.
Yeah. Yusuf, you mentioned that your home was targeted. Can you speak more specifically about that? And do you feel, for your life, an issue of safety, being a journalist? What's your reaction to all of this?
Well, we heard that my house was targeted. We didn't know whether it was an Apache helicopter or a missile fired by an Apache or a drone, or we didn't know. I mean, we heard that the house was targeted. We're not sure if it was deliberately targeted or it was a target that was near the house. We have no idea. But a fire broke out and huge damage caused, and it's obviously my family, we are a big family, and they are scattered now, you know, staying at relatives, different places, you know, throughout the Gaza Strip. And obviously now, when the war is ended, it's going to be hard for people to rebuild their homes, because there is lack of construction. There is lack of construction materials, as we know that Israel has been banning construction materials for the past 7 years.
And of course, heaven forbid, the real root cause, the occupation, is mentioned. So of course, the Times frequently refrains from doing that.
Well, and I think not just occupation, but the denial of a whole variety of basic rights to Palestinians, including the right to return to the towns and villages from which they are from. But yes, you're absolutely right. These mainstream media outlets often pick and choose points in a timeline to portray a dynamic in which the Israelis are responding. It's always Israel responding. It's never Israel instigating. And I've had so many correspondence with journalists about this recurring problem in their reporting. It doesn't seem to register.
Thank you.
Because they have bought into the representation of this as something that goes back, to quote one journalist whose name I will not mention, to biblical times. Yes. And, you know, that's the kind of ignorance that I think lies at the foundation of much of the reporting that we see on this issue. And, of course, if we have that level of ignorance from the reporters who are supposed to educate the American public on this issue, you can only understand why the American public is so misled. You don't know how it makes me feel, child. To be able to walk away from your smile as I can. And I'm gonna be all right after a while. I think the Lord done gave me a strength now. I'm gonna be free.
I want to be free tonight.
Overcome traditional media blockades. Using social networks to overcome traditional media blockades. Supported by an engagement which happened boasts is made clear day after day thanks to the work of too few courageous journalists supported by an engaged global citizenry using made clear day after day thanks to the work of too few courageous journalists supported by an engaged global citizenry using social networks to overcome traditional media blockades.
All right, hey, thanks for listening to Mike Power Radio. I'm Furious George, spotlighting the genocide in Gaza tonight and some other craziness. If you want to learn more about the Furious George Show, go to furiousg.blogspot.com. And, of course, always keep listening to 103.5 WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough. Rocking it out at 103.5. And also on your dial, on your internet dial at wcomfm.org. I'm Furious. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.